Okay, folks, we're getting ready to start. John, you got to calm down. Okay,
and you too.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shope.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi there. Welcome to episode number 26 of Theater Geeks. I just thought of the title, which is, "Hey, you kids, get off of the porch." No? Well.
I like that.
We're going to be talking about youth theater today, but first I have a couple of people to introduce. Number one, Rick Ellis has joined us again. He came over here by the mule train from South Bend and is with us again to talk to, just be part of the panel. And Kristen Swerha Scott is here as well, and she is going to be talking with us about not only youth theater, because she's a youth theater mom, and also some issues with fundraising, which we probably are going to move into another episode down the line here. We are live at the Daily Grind, which is the best coffee house on the planet in Elkhart, Indiana. And for those of you here in the room, please be sure that you are partaking of all the good stuff that they have out in the other room. The other thing, and anyway, the Tanya's crew here has been really nice to us, let us have the room, and they've been helping us out with all the refreshments we could possibly want. And
they are located on East Lexington.
They are on East Lexington Avenue, or
Boulevard. In Elkhart, Indiana.
Is it Lexington Avenue, right? In Elkhart, Indiana. And you can't miss it.
4651.
That's right. And I won't even say the name of that national coffee chain that they are better than. Okay, so there we go.
And the breakfasts are great.
The breakfasts are great here. Yeah. So we realize that Elkhart, Indiana is not necessarily the theatrical capital of the world, but it's definitely the coffee and nosh capital of the world if you come here. Okay. So what we wanted to talk about today was youth theater and or children's theater, and sort of does the twain meet, or are they two separate things? Can they coexist? And how important are youth to a community theater? Basically, let's start with a couple of definitions. What is the difference between youth theater and children's theater? Is there a difference there, or do we have to kind of be careful of defining our terms?
Is there a definition there, or is it, I mean, it's just how you define it inside your own theater?
Yeah, I was gonna say just an understanding.
I mean, I think there's children's theater that's for families, mm-hmm. performed by a age range of, like, from young all the way up through people our age.
Huh.
Well, no, truthfully. And then there's youth theater that's performed by youth only, and usually, again, it's for family entertainment. So, for example, in this area, we have three different youth theaters, basically. Our theater does theater that is with just youth performing for the entire community. So right. our youth theater is for ages 8 to 18, and we are there to, you know, perform for the families, whereas the other two organizations may do a show that includes just youth, but they are also willing to expand that and incorporate adults into those particular productions as well.
But there's also, you know, there's a difference in the audiences as well. I mean, our theater, it's for the general audience, whereas what I tend to think of as children's theater very often is adults performing stuff for children.
Oh, I see.
You know, that's kind of was the kind of the dichotomy that I had.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have any around here that are strictly that.
That's right. No, none of them are strictly that. I know that, like, the Indiana University South Bend does a children's theater production, but it's the students, adults, essentially, doing shows for kids.
I think one of the main pluses for having whatever you call it, a youth theater or children's theater or whatever, is the fact that it's a marvelous, marvelous training ground for young people who are interested in performing. And they may not, you know, realize they're being trained, but it's also that they enjoy being with another group who has the same likes, and performing. The end result is a performance, you know. And I just think that's looking ahead at audiences and cast members and production people for years to come. That's where you get them started. That's where their interest grows.
Mm-hmm.
Is in a youth theater.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you say they don't know they're being trained, but I know that, it's true, but I think they know they're working, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, but
at least in our theater.
It's not like you're going to class and you're going to sit here and you're going to learn about this and this
right.
and this. They participate. They learn by doing.
Yeah, and they understand that it's not just getting up, being on stage is not just as simple as just getting up there and kind of running around.
Right.
And there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And I think that, and they have something that they can be proud of to show for it. It's a group effort. They learn a certain amount of teamwork, and they learn, a lot of other life lessons essentially that they can carry forward. Whether they stay in theater or not, they've been part of something bigger than themselves and had to be an important cog in that wheel, I guess.
Wow, right. That sounds very impressive.
I'm being very philosophical today, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
That's true. Okay.
It's the word cog.
That's right. So,
well, John works with a lot with the kids.
I love working with the kids. They bring a whole different energy into the building, which I think, for
they
our
bring a lot of germs into the building too, don't they?
And sticky stuff.
Stuff.
They're sticky. No, actually, most of our kids are not sticky.
Oh, okay.
So, I've always enjoyed working with kids. It was what I thought I was going to do I was going to be a teacher, and it just didn't work out that I didn't want to become a teacher in the end, but it's kind of fun now because I get to do that aspect of what I enjoy doing the most anyway, which was working with kids, hopefully training kids to become better performers, and that energy, they just bring a whole different energy into the building, which I think most community theaters could use. I think if you've got a season that's just three shows on your season, see if you can squeeze a fourth one in, because that youth theater show can make a huge difference in the way your organization just feels, a huge difference in the people who may start to attend your other performances.
Right.
One of the reasons why we started it wasn't just because we knew that kids needed an outlet in the community, which they did, but also because we were hoping to build a patronage as well, a group of people that would not just necessarily follow the youth theater, but then maybe decide they want a date night and come to see a show on the regular season
right.
as well.
Yeah, and we talked about in the previous episode, you do have that grandma factor, which is that, parents and grandparents and family members will come to see a child, their particular child in a show, and sometimes more than once, believe it or not.
Right.
We have that happen quite often, where grandparents come to every performance to watch their grandkid in the show. So, but of course it involves parents as well. Kristen, you've gotten involved because your son has been in a number of shows, but you've been involved in the arts anyway.
Well, and I was also an actress, but it was a long time ago.
No, okay. But what's tell us about your experience with your son, and he's been in he's been doing theater with
five years.
And he's been in some non-youth shows.
His first show was an adult performance. He was the fourth child, which was just the little one, in Life with Father.
That's right.
And
that's
you
right.
saw when I put it on Facebook the other day that when he was in that show, he had just turned seven,
right.
and he got sick. And he was running a fever, 102, and he felt terrible. And, of course, during Hell Week, it was really hard. It's a seven-year-old kid, and he's out till 10 o'clock every night. But he fell asleep on stage.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about, and I was the director.
Yeah.
And so the other three boys that were in the family, they kind of scooted in real close to him and propped him up so he wouldn't fall over.
I had no idea.
He was just seven, but he loves it. He always is looking for an outlet like that, and he's been in, this is his fifth production, the one that's currently on stage, and he just loves the stuff. He loves the kids, and it's great because he doesn't meet just his kids his own age. He meets little kids that he works with, and you can have them eventually become mentors even as teenagers, but he meets older kids too, and he sees how they work, and it's just a great experience.
I think mentoring is one of the interesting things, because it was one of the things that I was thinking about as we were talking about this, and the differences between the two types of youth theater that we were talking about, though, as well. Whereas, like, for example, with South Bend Civic Theater, or with another group in the area called Premier Arts, they use adults inside the shows, and a lot of times that way the adult becomes the mentor, which I think is completely valid. Is if the adult is a very competent performer, I think it's a great way. Kids have something to look up to and to say, I can aspire to that. in our youth theater, our kids have become the mentors. Mm-hmm. So in that case, for example, like you were saying, your son Andrew started out when he was 7. Now that he's 12, kids actually look to him to say, oh, I can do this, I can do that, I can achieve this when I'm 12. You know, instead of I can achieve this when I'm 35, I can achieve this when I'm 12. But it's kind of, and it's a different mentoring system. But, you know, if we teach the basics from the beginning and those kids are learning the basics, then they will, in their own way, start teaching the basics to the younger kids who are coming up underneath them. So.
Right, yeah. So
and
they,
in addition to learning, let's face it, they have a good time.
Oh, they have a great time.
You know, and
they,
that's
they
for
can't
kids,
wait to go
a lot
back
of kids,
out.
That's the bottom line. And then when they get on stage with their costumes on, I mean, I went recently to see a production of this because I felt like I should support the youth theater. And it was, I enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed a lot of the performances I've seen by adult actors.
Well, you know, it's funny because you forget that they're kids.
Yeah.
You
right.
do.
Yeah.
They're doing such a good job. And some of them, my husband has finally joined the ranks of the community theater and is now doing some tech work. And so he hasn't seen it until the final production. And he was watching this time during rehearsals and amazed at the differences that, you know, from a week ago and what has happened till final production. But even he said, this kid is really, really good. They're so funny, or they're so good, or they've got the timing down just right. And he's just amazed that, you know, a 15-year-old kid can do this. Mm. He's now, not talking about our son. He's talking about...
Now, working with your son, though, I mean, do you help him with lines? And
absolutely.
Do you work with him on that, or does... Okay.
And when he was 7, although he was already reading, when he was 7, we had to just do it by memorization. You know, he just had to go over and over the lines. But he does most of it on his own. We still run lines with him. And it's a great family involvement to be able to do that. As in some cases with adults, sometimes he has problems with lines or he wants to mix things up and we have to go over that. This one has been an interesting experience because he has to use an accent. And one of the things that I've always been saying to him over and over and over, and luckily the directors have reiterated it, is slow down.
Right.
They want to talk in a normal voice, and then with an accent, you can't understand anything they're saying. But they did, because earlier Marcia had mentioned she was able to understand them. And you can. They're, and that's a skill that they can learn and carry over into anything else.
Right. Yeah,
when
that,
they're in high school and they're doing public speaking or they're doing speech class, this is a skill they, you know, will help them get those A's.
True. Yeah, speaking skill alone is worth the effort.
Right.
Plus, also just getting a handle on what it's like to be in front of an audience and have that.
They're all hams.
What's that?
They're all hams.
Well, that's true. Well, that's true. But you know, some of them may or may not have been in front of a big audience, or they may, you know, it's just a different experience.
Well, you know, and we're talking right now since we have a youth theater show on stage, and I think that's. But I was at the audition process for this particular show that's currently on stage, and we had a young girl who auditioned for the show, and she came off the stage and was getting ready to leave with her mother. And we were able to convince her to go back up on the stage and finish the audition. And she's now in the show, and she's, I think, having a good time. Every time she walks in the building, she's smiling. And that's I hope that means it's something that's positive.
But I saw kids there last night who said, I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
really?
In the show. They were in the audience. I want to do that. And that's great. And that is audience building. And since a lot of my expertise is getting funds, this is a great way to get funds. It just is.
That's right.
So, you have I must
have
something on the internet.
What do you do about stage parents?
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh. Stage parents.
We actually talked about having a whole episode on
stage
moms and stage
parents. Yeah. Right. Well,
they make us stay away.
Actually, we do. One of the things that we try to achieve in our theater is that the rehearsal process is closed. It is not open for parents to just come and think that they can hang out. Part of it's because, although they are children, and I work with them as children, but I also work with them on an adult level. I think they respond well to that. They have to understand that they have certain obligations. And I think a lot of times, especially parents, if they saw me working with their kids, might freak a little bit I'm never mean. I'm never nasty. But they may not
You're firm.
I can be very firm. And there are some parents who may not want to see me being firm with their child, because they have certain obligations, which you were talking about, Dave. Mm-hmm. That it is work. It's not. I mean, it's fun, and we have a good time. And I think part of the fun comes then from the performance. As you start to get your costume on, like Marcia said, mm-hmm. as you start to really get into the character, and you start those final couple of weeks, that's when the fun really starts. But up to that point, it's really work.
Right.
And so we close our rehearsals so that parents don't see that process as much as possible. You know, and that and most parents don't have a problem with that. They understand that it's work and that it needs to be done. But I also think it's a training process for our directors as well. How do you work with parents? How do you handle parents who are sometimes overwhelming?
Right.
I'm not looking at anybody in the audience.
You should get them involved, though, on a volunteer level.
Well, getting them involved, you're exactly
right.
You're exactly right. Getting them involved as volunteers. You know, we're so fortunate that we have a group of moms right now that we call the theater moms.
Not the stage moms, the theater moms.
Their kids are pretty active in a lot of the shows. And they, along with a number of other people, other parents, will come and they will, like for this show, since it's a melodrama, we're throwing paper wads during the show. So they came and bagged paper wads, you know. And we did that same thing where actually we asked all the parents to bring us paper wads because we needed paper wads. And well, now I've got like 10 bags of paper wads. But at least, you know,
that certainly solves the budget problem.
Get the families involved.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, we had a number of mothers who stepped forward immediately and said, we want to paint. And it's like, great, come help us paint, you know. So getting the families involved, I think, is very helpful as well. And that can alleviate
some
problems.
But that helps your stage mom. Right, that helps your stage mom syndrome.
That's right. What about play selection, though? There are a lot of plays that are written for youth to perform. What do we look for in a show that is really going to be right for us? There's got to be bad ones and good ones out there, of course. And I've seen some pretty lame things. And how do we select good shows? Right now, we're doing one called our theater is doing a show called Shakespeare Goes to Gravel Gulch, which is kind of a funny take on Shakespeare, and it's a melodrama, et cetera, right?
Right.
So
no Shakespeare.
No Shakespeare, really.
No, we should have put in all the advertisements. This is almost Shakespeare-free.
Almost Shakespeare-free. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So no problems there. But how did that play get selected in over others, I guess, is my question.
We should actually invite the head of the youth theater committee to come up, because she is here today.
But Penny. Penny, you can talk to us. Come here.
This is good.
Now, Penny, this is Penny Myers, who is one of our stalwarts at Elkhart Civic Theater and has served as president, et cetera, at our home theater. But she's also heavily involved in the youth theater. So, Gravel Gulch, why did you pick that?
Well, we have a committee of, we have some theater moms on it, and John, and we look at shows that we can get a lot of people involved in, a lot of kids, things that are going to help us teach them along the way. So a melodrama, let's teach them how to act outside the box. We looked at a lot of different ones. When we first started, the fall was classics. And it's hard to pick a classic that you can get a lot of kids. This has 29?
Something like that,
29 kids in it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like picking an adult show. You go through a whole bunch of criteria and what's going to be the best for the kids and teaching.
And something that they are going to like. That's, I think that's the other thing, too.
Yeah, they have to have fun with it.
Right, yeah. It's not, you know, okay, now we're going to do Medea. You
know, burn the children.
We should. Rick, you had an excellent title for a junior show that we were. What was the name of that one? It was a takeoff on a major musical. What was it?
Please understand, I have dogs, not children.
Oh, okay. All right. But what was the name of that play that you would like?
Sweeney Tots.
Sweeney Tots. Yes, I think that would be a good one for us to do.
Very small meat pies. He said.
Sort of like tater tots as well. But, selecting a show, I guess you're right. It depends. It's sort of the same process as for an adult show, or I don't know, not an adult show, but a show that adults are going to perform.
Main stage show, yeah.
Right. Okay, I have a question for Penny, because I'm not involved in the youth theater. how do the kids, when they're in a rehearsal process, okay, the kids on stage obviously are getting directed by whoever the director is. How do the kids off stage act? I mean, are they, do you have to like rein them in all the time, or are they absorbing and listening to what's going on, or how do you handle 29 kids when there are maybe three of them on stage?
Well, I actually don't direct the youth theater, so.
No, but that's why I mean, that's why I was asking you, because if you're not directing, then you must be kind of working with those who are not on stage. Do you know what I mean? Like a kid wrangler is what we used to call them.
Well, I mean, I can speak from, I've stage managed a couple of them, and they're kids. I mean, they have a lot of energy. They are having fun. They want to express that energy downstairs and in the wings, and you have to teach them that this is theater, and they have to pay attention. They have to be in character. They have to be quiet backstage. And it's the same process that sometimes you have with adults who get a little excited backstage or downstairs and get a little loud. And we do have parents that are downstairs in the basement during the shows to kind of help remind the kids that there's an audience upstairs and that, you know, they have to calm down a little bit.
And it's definitely a training process. I mean, for even adults who are new to the theater, I have to walk with the kids and go, one of the reasons why you have to be quiet is because the audience is right on the other side of that wall, and there's a door in that wall, so they can hear you through that door. We have assisted listening devices in our theater. That microphone is so sensitive that if you speak backstage, a lot of times, even if they're deaf, they will be able to hear you with that little earbud in. Because that microphone is so sensitive. So if you explain the reasons why you need them to do what they do, a lot of times they understand better than just saying, you need to be quiet. Shh, yeah. Shh.
Hey, you, get out the porch.
And that goes with the adults, too. But one of the things that we do in rehearsal with the youth is, or at least what we try to do, is what we often call a three-ring circus or a cut-up rehearsal-type schedule. So that maybe I'll be working with kids in one room on blocking and characterization. There'll be another group of kids working with the vocal director in the music room, and then there'll be another group of kids, if we can do it that way, working with the choreographer in another room. So that the kids, if you have all the kids called for an evening, they're never
just sitting.
They're constantly moving, constantly having something to do. And if they don't, like, for example, I do my best to schedule with the kids. If I think it's only going to take an hour and a half, then on my calendar, usually I try to say, this will take an hour and a half. Parents, please be there by 7:30 or 8 o'clock. And that way, they don't have time to just sit. You know, we work. The parents come, pick them up, they go away.
Right.
And I think parents need to respond to that too, because badly scheduled shows can be just as difficult. If you've got a badly scheduled show, and I have to admit, folks, I've done it, and the parents come and they're sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting, mm-hmm. Then the parents start getting upset, and you don't want upset parents, because even if they're not stage moms or dads, they can become that quite easily if their kids aren't getting out of rehearsal until 10 o'clock every night.
Whoa.
You know, and the last couple of weeks of rehearsal, especially the last week of rehearsal, you kind of have to expect it because you have to give notes, you have to get through the show. But up to a certain point, you know, you should be able to get the youth out in a fairly reasonable amount of time.
Parents and kids have a right to expect that anyway. I mean, they're not being expected to give their entire lives to something. They want to participate, but if things are explained up front, you say, look, we're going to do our best to have a schedule that's going to work with you. Keep in mind the last week of rehearsal is going to be long hours, and that's really not much we can do about it. If parents are prepared for that,
right,
then they can, then it's probably okay. You know, as long as, I mean, tell me if that's okay. Anybody here? You understand that towards the end that...
They are nodding their heads.
They are nodding. They are nodding their heads.
Collectively.
Right.
The main problem I see with Tech Week is the kids, and I think keeping it at a time where it's good, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock, is the kids still have homework. They still have their schoolwork to do. They still have other activities that they're involved in. And knowing up front that Tech Week is a long week, you know, they need to prepare for that and make sure that they have all their homework done, and as soon as school is done, get homework done, and et cetera, just as a kid, you know.
Thanks. So we're talking about, I guess...
But, you know, I wanted to add to that, and that is important. And what I try and do with my own son in particular is, as soon as you come home from school, get on your chores and get on your homeworks, because you know you're going to have this. I also stress that this is his fun time, folks. This is his activity. This is what he chooses to do. But because he's been in both the main stage productions and the youth, I can tell you there is a difference. There's a difference in the director, and there's a difference. And maybe that's something, if you're going to have more main stage that have children in it, the directors just need to be aware. When he was in the first one, it wasn't staggered. And, you know, he had to show up unless he was not on stage. And since he was a family member, he was pretty much on stage every night of the rehearsal. He had to show up. And, you know, with kids, it works much better with the staggered, because then you can do things at home. And, you know, face it, these kids are not, this isn't the only thing they're doing.
Right.
You know, they're doing, three different other things, band, orchestra, drill team, you know, and sports and other things
say,
like
we were
this.
Talking,
so, Rick, do you find when your dogs are in a show that the same rules apply?
I wanted to address what Marcia was talking about. A few years ago, I was in a children's theater production, first one in about 20 years. I owed somebody a favor. This production had, I think I was probably the oldest at Fruhr. And it went all the way down to, I think the youngest was about 4. And there were about 60 cast members in this production of Charlotte's Web.
I saw that production. It was very, very good.
Oh, thank you. But back to what Marcia was saying is what we had. Of course, we were in a facility that accommodated this, but we had theater moms controlling every aspect of that production. We had, there was a special room under the stay or under the theater, and you couldn't hear anything that came from that room. And anybody that wasn't on stage in the next 5 minutes could run around and scream and yell and do whatever they wanted to.
Oh,
in that room.
Okay.
And there were two chaperone mothers that were in there. There were two chaperones at each entrance to the stage. There was a chaperone in each dressing room. I mean, there were mothers all over that place, and they all knew the show. I mean, they were there from day one through, you know, rehearsals and through Tech Week and the long and grueling hours of Tech Week. So they knew the show inside and out, and they really knew who had to be on stage.
Well, and of course, I guess, you know, that you're very grateful. Any community theater is going to be very grateful for parents that are willing to put in that kind of time and help. And it's really important. Of course, you know, if you know the theater you're talking about had the isolation potential. Ours does not. You can hear pretty much anything from anywhere in the building if it's loud enough, and there's no soundproofed area. But that's
right.
That's great. That's great that you would actually have that. So, but I think that, you know, we're talking about some of the problem areas or some issues that you have to deal with, which may be some of them quite different. But I think overall we can kind of decide that, you know, having youth theater is, I mean, the pluses far outweigh any issues that you have to deal with in terms of the benefit for the theater and for the community, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
100%. And I tell you, the one thing that kind of upsets me sometimes is that people that are not parents, adults that are not directly involved through a student or some kid that's in the show, don't bother to come. And I think they're missing a really great opportunity to see what the potential is there in these kids. I mean, they go to football games and soccer games and all this kind of stuff. They should really expand their horizons and go to some of the youth theater productions.
I think one of the reasons is because I think that sometimes theaters don't necessarily hold their youth theaters to the same standards as what they might their main stage shows. And I think that's a real mistake. I think that you need to hold that youth theater show to the same standard.
Well, it's hard for parents and people in the public to see the value in youth theater if it bores the pants off of them. So you're right. Having a standard of quality that is right up there is certainly goes to selling it to the community in the future.
Again, I love kids. I have nieces and nephews. But even at a higher quality, I think I personally would still forego a production that was entirely of youth. I'm sorry.
That's your,
no,
that's your but loss.
I love children's theater. I would go see a production that had kids in it, but also adult. If everyone were age appropriate, that to me is more appealing to me personally.
You are missing out on some great theater.
I absolutely know that. One of the things, though, that I know that another theater locally does is that there's some theater that for kids that everybody wants to have a good time and they don't hold it up to the same standards. But there is a local theater who does classes. They do theater classes, and then with the class, there is a production that is mounted, and that to me is more of an arena for having fun and for families and to enjoy.
Right.
But with youth theater being performed, I agree with John that it really does need to be at a higher standard.
That's right.
And just my own personal preference is the age appropriateness.
Okay. Any other? Are we about to wrap up this topic?
I think so.
We are.
Dave.
Well, there's probably so much
shocker.
To talk about.
There's a lot more to talk about, yes. Of course. But youth theater, go youth theater. I guess that's kind
of. Yeah, I guess I would. I have a question for some of the youth theater parents that are here. How and why did your children become involved in either this youth theater or other youth theaters? Did you suggest they do this, or did they decide on their own? And what did you do to, like, facilitate their... Because driving back and forth to rehearsals, no matter where you live, has got to be a pain in the butt, you know? But so the parents also have to give up a portion of their time. So can one of the many parents over there answer me, please? And tell us who you are.
I'm Lori Mecklenburg, and I have two daughters, actually, who do youth theater. And my first daughter started just because she was doing school plays, and a friend suggested she go out for one at Elkhart Civic. And she had tried out for other plays and had not gotten a part and was pretty discouraged, wasn't going to go out again, which is a whole topic you could do on its own. But she went out for it. She did it. She made a lot of new friends that she just loved and just kept coming back. Sometimes she gets parts, sometimes she doesn't. And that's part of the learning process, I think, for them, is that you don't always get a part. Sometimes you're just not right. And that's a good educational tool for these kids to get, in addition to when they do get a part and they get to have fun and they get to go and play with their friends, they're learning a skill. And she's 15 now and has learned a lot about how to perform, knows when to go to the director and say, I'm just not sure what to do here, tell me what to do. Is there something I can do? Learning how to clean up after yourself down in the dressing room.
It's
you know?
Something adults don't know.
Yeah.
But there are skills that she's learning, so it's worth the drive. And then you volunteer and you stay out of the way.
There's a really good point that you made is how funding for the arts is diminished, particularly in the schools, and it is such a necessity for community theaters to reach out to families when they don't have that opportunity, a lot of that opportunity in schools.
And our youth theater, just so you know, our youth theater, even though there's sometimes some expenses for the parents, for the most part, we try to make sure that our theater is as accessible and cost-free as possible. I mean, sometimes you just can't get away from it. You got to buy tights. I'm sorry, you're going to have to buy tights. Or you're going to have to buy a pair of dance shoes this time. You're just going to have to. But for the most part, we try not to incur cost for the parents if we can.
I think we have some input from the chat room.
We do. We have a question from the chat room. What do you think about doing adult shows like Grease or something like that with child actors?
You mean a whole...
No smoking or drinking.
No.
I'm opposed to that.
Yeah.
Maybe only a little.
Yeah, Rizzo's pregnancy scare.
Yeah, like
really
you see like Rizzo standing on stage. She's 8 years old.
I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see
there,
that either.
There are worse things I could do. I hope not.
Okay, well, maybe that wasn't a good example, but there are
other... Well, you know what? It is a good example because Grease is a show that... It seems to me mm-hmm. everybody thinks it's a great show for kids to be in.
It's not
and
really.
I think
there,
it's
but there
dreadful.
Is a clean version.
There's a clean version.
Okay, yeah. I'll withhold judgment until I see the clean version.
But if you're watching the movie, that ain't the clean version.
No.
That's right, yeah.
No.
So
I'm sorry.
1776. That would be a great show, wouldn't
what?
It?
For kids?
Yeah.
If they can
sing. Educational.
Yeah.
And
if they can sing it, sure.
You have to have good
singing.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how I feel about doing adult shows with kids. I mean, I think if you're going to start doing that, then they become part of your main stage season. I think, and we try to do that, where we try to find at least one show on every season that incorporates youth somehow. Unfortunately, we can't usually find one large show on the season that incorporates 30 or 40 kids most of the time. But I mean, we do. I just think that I start to hesitate about doing an adult show with kids. Especially if the subject matter is not appropriate.
Well, Kevin's point, he did mention that there are the junior line of shows like Grease Junior and
right.
Andy Junior or whatever.
There's a Grease Junior.
Mm-hmm. A Grease Junior.
Never mind, David.
But, yeah,
I think that a show like Grease Junior is appropriate for high school kids. I'm not sure that I'd still want an 8-year-old girl playing Frenchie.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
can I address that as a
Frenchie.
Mom?
Yeah.
As a mom, I wouldn't want my son in that show. When he gets to be in high school, okay, he can be in a high school production of it. But at 7, 8, 12, 14, I don't want him playing that kind of a role.
That's right.
That's not, and he just wouldn't audition for it. You could go ahead and do it, but he wouldn't audition.
But there are other cleaner shows.
Yeah, like Music Man, which is an adult show, yes. Music Man
well,
Junior.
And when you do main stage productions that involve youth, such as when you did, and you didn't mention this in your musical one, it's Seussical. I mean, Seussical can involve lots of kids. Mm. So, you know, you can have a main stage production that has lots and lots of kids, and you don't have to take a main stage production that shouldn't involve kids and make it into one.
Yeah, there are lots of big shows, like the last episode we were talking about musicals, and most of the musicals what we talked about, you can involve a lot of young people. I'm not saying little kids necessarily, but like in The Music Man, my Lord, you can have 70,000 townspeople of all ages who come on in their costumes, sing a song, and leave, you know, but it involves them.
But I will say one thing that I feel very strongly about, which is that I don't believe in just parading youth out on stage during a show and to use them and then to parade them off. If you're going to use the kids in the show, unless it's very specific that that's the only time the kids can be on stage, then I think that you need to find ways to incorporate them throughout the show so that they have the best experience possible and at the same time it's a valuable experience.
Well, now, a couple of years ago, you did a production of Joseph, and it involved there was a kids' chorus. Now, is that supposed to be in
it's
there?
It's not written that way, although it's been done that way.
And that was an excellent, and it's a short show, relatively speaking, and most of the major characters are played by adults, but the kids had a great time, as far as I could tell, from it being in that show. They did a lot, it was mainly chorus stuff, and the music, of course, is fun,
right?
And it worked real well.
But
if we had only
incorporated them in the opening number and the closing number, I think it would have been kind of worthless. We tried to bring them on throughout the show,
right,
in as many locations as we could, so that they felt like they were more of a part of the actual event than just being paraded on to be kids and the grandmas in the audience.
Okay. I am going to call time on this episode. This episode has gone on long. I thought we were wrapping it up about 20 minutes ago,
sorry,
folks.
Sorry, David.
So this is a topic we can certainly come back to over and over again. Want to remind you that www.theatergeeks.com/store has all your favorite geek gear like hats, sweatshirts, probably thongs.
Chef hats?
Mugs. There's no chef hats. We should probably suggest that. Bibs for the little ones, all kinds of things like that are at the Theater Geeks Gear store. So stop by there. Follow us on the Theater Geeks website. You can sign up for the newsletter as well. And our thanks to Kristen Swerha Scott and Rick Ellis for being with us today, and also to Penny Myers for helping out, and some of the theater moms that are here as well. And Once more, I'd like to thank the Daily Grind for letting us camp out here in the next room and have our program here and bringing us coffee when we need it. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.